bluegills, blue bass, and catfish. If that menu sounds tasty to you, then you are in luck, because that's what you stand to catch if you go fishing in and around Kansas City. I'm Gina Kaufman. On today's Central Standard, we'll get tips on fishing in the city. But first, this weekend, the Kansas City Star published a report indicating that highly touted block school rankings might be misleading. Neither the Star nor UMKC is ready to discuss that story on the air, but it did get us thinking. How do the publications that rank universities come to their conclusions? And what should rankings mean to prospective students and employers? Stay tuned for that conversation after this news. Good morning and welcome to Central Standard. I'm Gina Kaufman. If you read the Kansas City Star over the weekend, you probably saw a report indicating that UMKC's block school rankings, putting one of the school's programs in league with Harvard and Stanford business schools, might be based on what the Star called, quote, a pattern of exaggerations and misstatements. The Star is not yet making its reporters available for comment, and a representative from UMKC told KCUR's Ellie Moxley that the school has a profoundly different view of the events under scrutiny. KCUR will be tracking the fallout, if any, from the Star's report as further information becomes available. In the meantime, we at Central Standard wondered how schools are ranked in the first place and to whom these rankings matter. Here with us for that conversation is Kim Clark, senior writer for Money Magazine. Hi, Kim.
Hi.
Later, we'll be talking to Arthur Ahn, director of pre-business programs at Kaplan, the organization that offers prep courses for college and graduate placement programs. But Kim, let's start with you. Money Magazine ranks four-year colleges as investments. That is to say, you measure how the cost of tuition compares with the measurable financial benefit of having attended the school. Is that correct?
That's right.
What prompted your publication to take on this ranking project?
Well, everybody knows college has gotten so much more expensive, right? I mean, it was one thing when you could go to college for $500 or $1,000, but now the average, even a public school is going to cost $20,000, $23,000 a year. I mean, that's a lot, right?
There was a time when you could go to college for $500?
Well, you know, I mean, the tuition, if you just looked at tuition at some of the top public schools, the University of California used to have tuition in the hundreds of dollars, just 25 or 30 years ago. And now it's more like, you know, $7,000 to $10,000. So it's gotten much, everybody knows it's gotten much more expensive. And now when you talk to college presidents or you go on a college tour, the people who are trying to convince you to go to that college often say, well, it's an investment. Yes, it's expensive, but it's an investment in your future. And in fact, they have numbers to show that, for example, the unemployment rate for people who don't go to college is twice that of the unemployment rate of those who do finish college. So it really does pay off. But since they're selling it as an investment, we at Money Magazine decided to take them at their word and analyze it like it's an investment. So we looked at the cost and the benefits.
Well, does Money Magazine's ranking provide information that the general ranking provided by U.S. News & World Report or Princeton Review don't get at?
Yes. Each of those are wonderful in their own way. Ours is different. Ours is much more financially oriented. I think Princeton Review has a lot of great rankings like Best Party School and Most Green School. So, you know, depending on what you're interested in, right, you should look at those rankings. Ours is much more, you know, we're called Money Magazine, right? So we're interested in money. So ours is all about how much does it really cost and will you be able to pay off your student loan? Will you get a job that gets a, you know, decent salary? I mean, ours is about money, and that's just one aspect that you should look at. But it's really important these days because we all know people who spend a lot of money to get a degree and then can't find a job or are really, really struggling with their student loans, and it really hurts the quality of their life after graduation. It can really hurt it. But whereas if you make a good choice, it can make a huge benefit to your life.
So let's get a better idea of how these rankings are, how you arrive at them. What is your methodology?
Well, there's actually a lot of statistics out there. If a school wants to participate in the federal student loan program and the federal aid programs, they have to provide lots of data, which, of course, you know, they complain about. But they have to tell you, for example, what percentage of their students graduate within 4, 5, and 6 years. So they have to provide a lot of data that we can then use to do some basic screens. Graduation rate is super important. I mean, if students are dropping out of a college, that's a bad sign for a lot of reasons, right? It either means the students weren't getting enough aid, or they weren't happy, or they're transferring out, or, you know, or life got in the way. But you want a school that's going to get you to graduation, right? That's super important. So we look at things like graduation rate. The federal government also keeps statistics on who's paying back their student loans, since, you know, it is a federal student loan, right? So they do keep those numbers. So we can look at what percent of students from each college are defaulting on their student loan.
Do you have, like, what equations and things that you use?
Right. We gather this data, and then we sort of organize it all in, you know, we figure out who's the tops in each category, and then we sort of rank them. It's a complicated statistical process, but it took us months, but we figured out a way.
developing your rubric there.
Well, right.
Listeners, do school rankings matter to you? 816-235-2888 is the number you can use to call us up and weigh in. That's 816-235-2888. And Kim of Money Magazine, do the schools you rank have a responsibility to report certain information to you in certain ways to be sure that the data is accurate, or is that your job as the author of the report?
Well, they actually don't report it to me. They report it to the federal government, and anybody can go to the Department of Education site and just download the data. I mean, it's a public service that the Department of Education provides.
So all schools are obligated to report this information for a lot of reasons.
Right. Because, you know, government, there's been a lot of talk about, for example, some for-profit schools are being shut down basically by the federal government because they have such high dropout and student loan default rates. So the government is starting to crack down on some of the worst colleges, the colleges that really don't provide value.
Your lens is, as we've acknowledged, you're from Money Magazine, somewhat more narrow than the typical ranking, but there's still a lot of information to collect, and there are a lot of factors that make a school right for a particular student as opposed to students in general. How do you go about creating an objective measure for a decision that is in many ways quite personal and subjective?
Right. Well, we're not saying, you know, you should only go to the number one school at Money Magazine. We're just saying that especially if you're going to borrow to go to a school, I mean, if you can afford to pay whatever the price is, then you should go to whatever school you want to, right? But if you're going to go borrow and you're going to have these big debt payments, you should really think about the financial implications. You know, our ranking is just one tool that you should use. You should visit the college, see if you fit in socially, see if you like the professors, I mean, if you're going to thrive there, and, you know, whether you would join the clubs and get all the benefit of all the extracurricular activities. So, I mean, there are a million things that go into a decision about college, and finances should be one, but I don't know if it should be the number one issue, but it's an important one.
You ranked two relatively unknown schools, Babson College and the Webb Institute, first and second. They came in just
right
ahead of MIT and Princeton. Do you expect your report to affect applications or enrollment at Babson or Webb, or even at MIT or Princeton, for that matter?
I don't think MIT has anything to worry about, or Princeton. I mean, they're extremely wonderful schools, and they're very popular. I think what's important about our ranking is that we paid no attention to the name of the school or the prestige. We just looked at the numbers. Who graduates more students? What graduates earn the most? Who pays off their student loans? Who does the best job of paying off their student loans? We just looked at the numbers. And when you look at the numbers, and you don't pay attention to the prestige, what's interesting is some sort of famous and well-known schools don't do very well on the numbers. And some little-known schools clearly are, you know, doing what you want a school to do, graduate students, get them into good jobs, help them pay off their, you know, get them into jobs that allow them to pay off their student loans. That's what we care about, right?
So you're kind of like unearthing hidden treasure there.
Exactly. I mean, Webb Institute, I mean, it's a tiny school, only 80 students, but it's free tuition. All you pay for is your living cost. So we figure after you're all done, the entire cost of a degree is just your living cost, which is maybe $75,000, $80,000 a year, which is And you only get one. They only offer one degree, a naval architecture and engineering or something, which is, you know, a very unique thing. But
if that's what you want to do,
right? If that's what you want to do, I mean, you can't beat free tuition, right? Right, and that's pretty great. So people seem to graduate into great jobs.
Well, thanks, Kim. Let's turn now to Arthur Ahn. He's the director of pre-business programs at Kaplan. If you took an SAT prep course or so much as dreamed of applying to go to graduate school at some point in your life, you probably know Kaplan. The company is in the business of helping prospective students become strong applicants for the higher ed programs they want to attend. Arthur, does Kaplan have a position on the role rankings should play for students?
Yeah, we know that there's a lot of pressure, basically, that students put to find the best ranked school for them. And we certainly do think that the rankings are a very good way to start narrowing down that process of what sort of business school should I be looking for. So certainly business school rankings can be an important component.
Are there special considerations to be made when evaluating business schools and their rankings in particular?
For business school rankings, you know, it's going to be sort of the initial business school ranking is going to be an aggregate source of data in terms of academic life, rigor, job placement, all these different considerations sort of factor into this one number, which is a great starting point. But the rankings, you know, themselves, even the rankings makers themselves say, you know, it's not the end all be all. You don't pick a school simply because it's the number four business school in the country or whatnot.
So what do you use rankings for? I mean, we've heard a lot, I feel like, about what we don't use them for or what you might use a really specific ranking for, like the Money Magazine ranking. That's to decide financial worth and sort of really on the basic level, an investment value. But how would someone ideally use these really general kinds of rankings?
People use the rankings as a good overview for the kinds of programs that they are going to be applying for. But the more specific that an applicant is starts going into thinking about what their needs are, what their greatest priorities are in terms of business school. Each student is an individual, right? Each student wants something very different from their school. So what they'll use the rankings for is that initial sort of initial list of, hey, this looks like a great school for me. This looks like a good program for me. And then from there, the students should take those schools that are in that initial set of rankings and then from there kind of go further, see what are their priorities, what are the things they want to be able to do.
So it's just to narrow the pool from the early stages.
Exactly. I mean, many of the students that I've worked with in the past, for instance, they will say they want a top 20 business school, for example. Does it matter to them whether it's the number 18 business school, the number 19 business school? Maybe not. But they'll certainly have that idea in terms of overall prestige, what kind of, for instance, job placement opportunities there are. But then from there, again, we strongly encourage, once they have that initial set of schools that they're looking for, dig a little bit deeper. Talk to alums, talk to current students, talk to professors. That's what we do here at Kaplan. We tell our students to really get more and more information so that they can find the best fit for themselves.
Do students graduating from business schools with impressive rankings have an advantage in job interviews?
Students who attend and graduate from top-ranked business schools will probably have some advantages, largely in terms of job placement. Alumni networking is going to be stronger at the top business schools, so it may help in those regards. Possibly the probability of getting a job within the first 2 to 3 months after graduation may be a little bit stronger at those top schools as well.
So is
starting
it kind
salaries
of
salaries can often be higher? Sorry.
No.
Starting salaries can often, yeah.
It sounds like maybe
salaries can often be higher as well.
Maybe what you're saying is that the things that cause those schools to get the high rankings continue to be useful, but it doesn't sound like you're saying that major employers sit there with the list of schools and say, this one's number three, so I am more interested in a student from that school than someone graduating from number nine.
Yeah, well, going to a school with a high ranking certainly doesn't hurt that applicant's cause in terms of getting great job placement. At the same time, it's not just the fact that student X attended a certain business school that will make that person automatically a better candidate for a job.
So there is a news story that kind of prompted this conversation we're having today, a story in the Kansas City Star about the ranking of one of the programs at UMKC's Block School of Business Management. And so I want to talk to you a little bit about the Block School of Business Management and some of the information the school shares about itself on its website. In the section of the website that lists awards and recognition, that's where you see that the Block School of Business Management is ranked number one in the world for innovation management research, according to a study in the Journal of Product Innovation Management. What does that mean to you?
Well, it's not, I mean, just to be forward, that's not a ranking system that we're very familiar with. We're not really sure of what the metrics are used for that particular ranking system. The standard ones that we often speak to most are the ones from U.S. News and World Report, Financial Times, Business Week, and so on and so forth.
So so this is maybe a ranking system that doesn't hold the clout as that some of these bigger, more well-known publications would have?
Right. For instance, if you would look at Money Magazine, that has had their ranking system a little bit more established, then certainly we're looking for, then we would be a little bit more likely just to hold those rankings in a little bit higher regard, right? It's certainly not a household term, the ranking system that was used there. But again, we generally defer to the systems that have been in place over many, many years.
What is innovation management research?
It's basically innovation management research is has a lot to do with sort of taking the entrepreneurship, taking new ideas and being able to implement those ideas. So you're talking about a fairly specific type of academic field within business school. So again, it doesn't have that that more holistic approach that many of the other ranking systems do.
And as we've mentioned earlier in the show, UMKC isn't sending people to talk with us, but they have indicated that the school has a profoundly different view of the events that the Kansas City Star covered. But if it turns out that there was some kind of failure to disclose complete information or something like that, how would something like that affect a school's reputation, a business school's reputation in particular?
If it were found to have those sort of negative repercussions, then the negative reputation that would fall will be important for applicants. Applicants may simply choose to avoid applying to a school that has had some sort of stigma attached to it, and that is why, again, some of the top-ranked business schools in according to the various systems, the various ranking systems that I mentioned earlier, are more established. There's a lot of transparency involved in how those schools are ranked, and transparency is a huge thing when students are looking for information about applying to business school.
Yeah, I'd just like to point out.
Yeah,
that,
please.
This is not unique. There have been a number of scandals about schools inflating their average SAT score or massaging their selectivity numbers that they report to the federal government. You know, these are numbers that they report to the federal government, but they do it perhaps in part to raise their rankings at places like U.S. News, which value, for example, the more students you reject, the higher you go in the ranking, or the higher the average SAT score, the higher you go in the ranking, which that would be true for our ranking as well, the higher the SAT score to some extent. So this is not unique. Colleges do this all the time, and they also play certain games like federal statistics ask, for example, what percentage of students did you accept for the fall term? And so some schools will admit marginal students for the January term. Right.
Yeah.
So they don't have to report. They don't have to report those students to the official statistics. So there's a lot that schools do to make their numbers look better than they might otherwise be.
And Kim,
it's not new. It's not new at all.
Kim Clark of Money Magazine and Arthur Ahn of Kaplan, I want you both to weigh in on this, because even when it does come to the more established higher ed ranking reports like U.S. News and World Report, a growing number of schools are declining to participate by simply not filling out questionnaires and things like that. That isn't exactly a vote of confidence in the system overall. Why are some schools opting out of the ranking project altogether? Kim, I'll start with you.
Well, I certainly understand nobody likes to be judged or rated, but for example, our ranking is based on data that they have to report to the federal government. So I don't know how they would opt out. You know, we're just taking public data, right?
Yeah.
But some schools, you know, I mean, it's interesting to me because schools have no problem grading their students, but when other people try to grade them, then they find that offensive. So to me, I find that somewhat amusing.
Arthur Ahn, what do you think?
Well, the top schools will still do it, and you know, the top schools are the top schools for a reason, right? They have, you know, they're transparent about the information that that they have about their student populations. So I think that's one thing to sort of consider. If there are schools that are dropping out of the rankings, something just think about is, well, what is it that they're not willing to sort of disclose in a forum that is supposed to be helping, for instance, high school students get into great colleges or students get into great business schools. So the top schools will be pretty proud about the rankings. The rankings, you know, frankly, they sort of let them brag about how good their programs are. So rankings are sort of an important endorsement, almost if you think of it as like a third-party endorsement. That's how the rankings are often regarded for the top programs.
I read some claims that the rankings impose, quote, the superficiality of mass media on what would otherwise, according to maybe some university people, be the more pure idea-driven world of academia. Can institutions of higher education really strive to be above the fray when it comes to marketing and promotion, or has that ship already sailed?
Yeah, it depends on the school. I mean, every school, I mean, if they want to continue in operation, even if they're a, quote, nonprofit, they still need revenue to pay their professors. They need a certain number of students, right? So they need to recruit students. And right now we're in a demographic situation where the number of 18-year-olds is actually declining year over year. So their target market here in the United States is actually shrinking, which is why you're seeing a growing number of schools recruiting from overseas, especially, for example, China, where there appear to be a large number of wealthy parents willing to pay lots of money to send their kids to schools here in the United States. So,
I was just going to say, we see the very similar trends in business school applications as well. The rankings, when they come out, a lot of attention is placed on it. Schools are always under pressure to attract the best and the brightest students, and that's why we do see a lot of international students come to the U.S. to attend some of the top programs here as well.
And that does bring me to another question of how schools use positive rankings and maybe also how they overcome mediocre ones. Would you want to start with that, Arthur Ahn?
Sure. So rankings are, for one thing, they're a great marketing tool, right? It's a quantifiable measure of how successful that school is. Now, again, we want to be careful about how we sort of define successful, because many students are going to want very different things or are going to have different priorities in terms of the school that they want to attend. But it stands out, and not just for students, but it stands out for professors. It stands out for companies that have a lot of their employees come from a particular school. It stands out for charitable giving from their alums as well.
What about this overcoming of mediocre rankings?
I don't know what you mean. Overcoming mediocre.
Well, if a school isn't kind of placing in these prestigious levels within the ranking systems, is there still a way to develop a positive reputation that's sort of outside of that system?
Sure. I mean, they can. They can develop a great, you know, I mean, it's in their hands. We're just looking at the numbers. I mean, a school that has a low graduation rate needs to address that. You know, it's not, we shouldn't be the ones that have to point that out. They should figure that out on their own, right? If they have a lot of students who default on their student loans, that's a problem for them, you know? I mean, that's just a fact.
And Arthur, what's your take on that? Is there is there a way for a school to overcome it's the Money Magazine ranking is very specific and very numbers driven. Other rankings might be a little more subjective. And I'm just wondering if there's a way for a school to raise its own profile outside of that system.
Well, I suppose for a system like Money Magazine's, where again it's very objective, very data driven, those rankings are just they're not the cause of a mediocre school being at its state, right? They're just sort of revealing certain pieces of information about the school that a well-meaning applicant should know. But I think schools will either work hard to either improve in that area. Because the onus is on them, or they will find some way to either justify it or to possibly highlight some specific positive elements about their school.
Our time is up for this conversation about the significance of rankings for institutions of higher education, including UMKC's Block School of Business. We've been talking with Money Magazine's Kim Clark and Arthur Ahn of Kaplan. Thanks, Kim.
You bet.
Thank you, Arthur.
Thank you.
Central Standard is going to take a short break, and when we return, we'll be taking a look at fishing in and around the city. That's coming right up. Stay tuned.